six injured, two dead, and there was one suspect. Again, that's the active shooter. He is being hospitalized.
What a spectacle that was. That was certainly hard to watch.
I don't think it's in the best interest of our constituents to lose the institutional knowledge of the person who's willing to put their name on a ballot.
This is a special edition of WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. We start out tonight's Capitol Report, the podcast, not in the Florida Capitol, but about a mile west of there on the campus at Florida State University, where around noon today, a tragedy occurred, a mass shooting incident, and our Capitol reporter Adrian Andrews has been standing by on campus to find out everything he can about the situation. Adrian, there was just a major media event involving officials of the university and also law enforcement folks. You attended that. What did you learn?
Yeah, Tom, is there a lot of details? And before I even get started, we just, you know, important to know that it's still an, you know, an active and open investigation. So a lot of the details, you know, what officials that could actually tell us was, for the most part, kept under wraps. But we do know just how many victims, how many people was involved in this. There was one shooter. He did open fire around noon. I mean, their student union building on the FSU campus. I was told that it was six injured, two dead, and there was one suspect. Again, that's the active shooter. He is being hospitalized. And what police are saying is that the shooter named Phoenix Eichner, 20-year-old, is a current FSU student. He actually is the one who went on his campus and opened fire using a gun belonged to his mom, who's actually a Leon County deputy. The gun that she previously had, she actually was her previous service weapon. She used that, and she previously owned it, and then she, you know, they went in before when she goes into another service, they go and they can actually buy that weapon. Police say that she actually used to use that weapon. So a gun, a handgun, and also police are saying he was found with a shotgun, but he did not actually use it. So a lot of pieces, and they're still piecing together everything, Tom. There's just a lot of things that investigators are really trying to get a hold of, trying to figure out what's the motive, figure out if was he acting alone. As of right now, they said that there's no threat. Students, they can go back to their dorms. They can go and pretty much go back to normal. However, athletic events have been canceled through Sunday. They say classes will be canceled through Friday. There are some counseling that can be available for students, faculty. They can go on FSU's website for more information about that, Tom. And that's all that we have.
Well, we have two fatalities, we have six people injured and hospitalized, and we have a suspect also in the hospital right now. Adrian Andrews reporting from the campus of Florida State University, the scene of a mass shooting earlier today. Thanks, Adrian.
Yes, sir.
Hope Florida Foundation hoped to give clarity about questions surrounding $10 million it gave to groups that may have been used for political purposes during a meeting today. But trolls brigading the call had it end in disaster. Tristan Wood has more.
The charity, championed by Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis, has been in the hot seat after allegations it diverted $10 million in a Medicaid settlement to fund Governor Ron DeSantis' political attacks against the ballot initiative for recreational marijuana last year. The charity's board hoped to institute some processes to make it more accountable during a virtual meeting with over 190 attendees from the public, but the meeting was short-lived. During the meeting's opening public comment section, the trolls spammed pornographic videos, Nazi and fascist imagery, as well as fake AI audio imitating President Donald Trump. The meeting had to be postponed due to the onslaught.
What a spectacle that was. That was certainly hard to watch. I promise that we are going to keep the Zoom clean.
That's Florida Democratic Party Chair Nikki Fried. After Hope Florida's meeting, she hosted her own, where she criticized what she sees as continued incompetence and corruption of Hope Florida in the DeSantis administration.
For too long, this corruption has gone unchecked. That is what happens when you only have one party controlling a state for over 30 years. But finally, they have been caught in the act. Floridians deserve to know what really happened here, because fighting corruption in government is a bipartisan issue.
DeSantis and Florida Attorney General James Uffmeyer, who was the governor's chief of staff when the money changed hands, both maintained that the money allocations were legal and above board. I'm Tristan Wood.
Florida is home to nearly half of the Venezuelan-born population of the U.S., more than 380,000 residents. Many are permitted to remain here under temporary protected status, known as TPS. Hundreds of thousands who have sued the Trump administration to extend their TPS status are dreading what may come if the lawsuits fail. To learn more about TPS, WGCU's Sandra Viktorova spoke with immigration attorney Indira Demin.
Help us to understand why the federal government grants certain immigrants protection under TPS.
TPS, it's a designation given to nationals of a particular country if there are events in that home country making it difficult for folks to return to that country. For example, there might be a natural disaster or civil unrest in the home country. In the case of Haiti, in 2010, there was an earthquake, and so Haitian nationals in the United States could not return to Haiti because situations were unsafe. The Department of State will designate certain countries for TPS. Usually that's an 18-month designation.
As the name implies, temporary protected status, one would not expect that this would last forever. Why now?
Every 18 months, there must be a redesignation of TPS in order for folks to continue to get the benefits of TPS. You cannot be deported during that designation period. You get a temporary work permit, you get a social, and you're allowed to remain in the United States during that time. Some TPS designations have been around for 10, 15, 20 years. If you have been on TPS for that period of time, you've built lives in the United States.
Haiti is a good example, right?
Exactly. They've had TPS designation since 2010. And so 15 years, in that time, folks have built lives, they have children, they have businesses, homeowners. And so it's very difficult to say, we've canceled it, and now you have to return to your home country. Also, as a TPS holder, you would say, well, situations in my home countries has not improved. To cancel it now is simply unfair because I'm going back to an extremely dangerous situation.
This Venezuelan family, they felt that there was some sort of relief in the recent rulings in federal court to their case to be able to stay in the United States. This is just a temporary victory, correct?
That's right. The district court postponed the cancellation of TPS for Venezuela. It was set to expire. So because it's now postponed, folks that are on TPS from Venezuela can renew their TPS. Now, we're not sure how long this postponement is going to be in place, but based on prior litigation, this can go on for years. What we saw in the first Trump administration, a similar thing happened with TPS for Haiti, and that litigation went on up until the end of the first Trump administration. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if this litigation goes on for a few years.
That was immigration attorney Indira Demin speaking with WGCU's Sandra Viktorova. Finally tonight, a proposal to impose 8-year term limits on Florida's county commissioners and school board members is back this year. This time, the sponsors are looking to place the limits in the state constitution. Margie Menzel reports.
Spring Hill Republican Senator Blaise Ingolia has already tried to convince his colleagues to put term limits into state law. During the 2023 legislative session, the legislature imposed 8-year term limits on school board members, down from the previous 12. However, an effort to do the same for county commissioners hasn't been as successful. Ingolia says he's now offering limitations as a constitutional amendment because the overwhelming majority of his voters want it.
For clarification purposes, the proposed term limits in this joint resolution for county commissioners are prospective, and for the school board, it is retrospective because they already have term limits.
Supporters say the proposal would bring fresh blood into local offices, while opponents say voters would lose representatives who know their jobs. Representatives of the Florida Association of Counties and the Small Counties Coalition oppose the measure. Wakulla County Commissioner Ralph Thomas says he's not opposed to term limits if that's what his constituents vote for, but he's got other objections.
I'm here in opposition to this one-size-fits-all proposal that strips away the sacred right of local self-determination and imposes a uniform mandate on every county in our diverse state. This proposal flies in the face of principles upon which our nation and our republic were founded. The citizens of each county who live with the consequences of their leaders' decisions should be the ones to decide what limits, if any, are best suited for their unique needs.
Vero Beach Republican Senator Aaron Grawl opposes the measure, saying the institutional knowledge of an elected individual takes time to acquire.
It's the institutional knowledge of the elected official, not that is conveyed to us by staff or by a lobbyist or somebody else that does not have the obligation and duty to take the votes before them for our constituents.
Grawl says she's never been a local elected official, but she knows it's a matter of years to learn the issues and what's been done before in order to take responsible votes.
I don't think it's in the best interest of our constituents to lose the institutional knowledge of the person who's willing to put their name on a ballot.
The legislature itself is governed by 8-year term limits in both chambers. Ingolia says he understands the concerns raised by opponents of his proposal.
Senator Grawl, your assertion is that, staff and lobbyists have too much control and, they wind up not doing what the voters want. Well, the first thing I would say is about 80% of the voters want term limits and they want it set at 8 years. And all we're asking is to put it on the ballot, let them answer the question.
Ingolia's measure is now in the Senate Community Affairs Committee. The House companion has been approved by that chamber and is also now in the Senate. If the plan passes the legislature, it would appear before Florida voters on the November 2026 ballot. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol, and that show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.